seated. Praise the Lord. He's so good, isn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to worship a good God? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, I don't know, can you turn me down just a little bit? It sounds a little echoey. Maybe it's just me. This morning, the message I have for us, and I say for us because it's for me too, we're going to talk about the power of a praying sheep. The power of a praying sheep. You can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. As we get into the Word this morning, we'll go ahead and pray first. Father, we love You. We love Your Word, Lord. We rejoice at it as one who struck it rich. And Father, we thank You that it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Lord, as this message goes forth this morning, I thank You that it helps people today. Father, I thank You that our strength, our faith is increased, Father God. Lord, that You stir us in things, Father, in regards to prayer and being a sheep here in this church. And Father, we thank You for speaking through me this morning, Lord. Whatever You want said, may it be said. Whatever You want done, may it be done. And we'll give You all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Usually, when I minister in, you know, one of the family churches, because that's usually where I minister, I will ask the Lord what He has me to minister, which is a good habit for a preacher to have, right? We want a message from heaven when we come together. And a lot of times, that message is usually about me preaching about the pastor's office in some way. There's reasons for that. One of those is that me personally, I'm a sheep, right? I may be the associate pastor in Family Church Fredonia, but I'm also a sheep there. And that's my first and foremost job. And I want to be, if I'm going to be a sheep, if Jesus has called me to be a sheep, I want to be the best sheep that I can be. I want to do the best job that I can at it. Anything that God has called us to do, we ought to seek and have a desire to do it the absolute best that we can. You know, we're blessed to have pastors, especially in the family churches, but not just here. You understand, there's a whole lot more in the body of Christ than our 10 churches and the work in Spain. But we're blessed to have ministers here who don't pat themselves on the back, who don't flaunt their office, who don't flaunt in their glory and honor that they deserve, you know. And because of that, though, on the other side of it, sometimes things don't get ministered that need to because no one wants to seem self-serving. No one wants to come across about looking at the glory, you know, trying to get the attention on them. So I'm honored to have a chance to come into the pulpits and minister a message like this, excuse me, 3 services later. Praise the Lord. To minister a message like this because it's good for us to be reminded of these things, of how blessed we are to sit under the ministry that we get to sit under. Here in South Dayton specifically this morning, but the family churches as a whole. And because we talk about these things, we usually look at some different areas when it comes to being a sheep in a church. And you understand that's what the Bible equates us to, is being sheep, and our pastors are the shepherds of this local flock, right? So once we have an understanding of that, we can move forward. When it comes to being a sheep, there's something Reverend Marcel Joseph said. He's a minister that comes to the Fredonia Church, usually every spring, give or take. And when he ministers there, one of the things that he said, he's such a sweet and humble man of God. One of the things that he said to Pastor Michael last time he came is that when it comes to excellence, they were talking about excellence, and he said, if it can be done better, it's not excellent yet. And that's a good life motto to have. If it can be done better, it's not excellent. How many know, yes, we want to put that into practice in our work, we want to put it into practice in our homes, but we want to put it into practice in our local church in being sheep. If I can be better at being a sheep in the local church, I want to be better at it. Because that means I'm not quite excellent yet. And Jesus, the Son of God who came to earth for us, He was excellent. He gave His all for us. We can give Him our all in return. Amen. We can be the best sheep that we can be. So in this area of being a good sheep, there's some things we usually look at. One of those is with regard to receiving when we come to church, that we stir up our faith before we come here, that, you know, it's a dishonor to God to just roll out of bed and walk in the church building. It is. I mean, you can throw stones at me if you want to, but when we come, you know, in the Old Testament, and I understand that we're under grace now, thank God for it, but there were principles set forth in the Old Testament for us to follow. Some of those were the condition that the priests had to be in just to walk into God's house, right? Thank God for grace today that we can come in. You know, there's been times where I've had to come in, maybe not in my Sunday best, as it were, But how many of you know we should still endeavor to give God our best, right? When we come into this service, we ought to come in here with an attitude. We ought to get excited on the way here, right? I mean, I tell you, how many of us get up a little bit earlier for work so that we're ready when the time comes to start working? But then on Sundays, oh, I can push it. I can still make it there by 10. God deserves our best. He deserves our best. He gave us his best. So when it comes to receiving here, we have to learn that in being good sheep that we put our faith expectations on every service we come to, that I'm going to receive a message from heaven that day. And we're going to have our faith stirred on that a little bit today. The next part we usually look at is with regard to serving in the local church, because how many know once we get born again, we become sheep. Our job then in the ministry of helps is to begin serving in the local church. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but it's good for us to be reminded of these things. That, and I know a lot of us too, our ministries aren't active right now because of all the regulations and everything. And some people, I know at least in the Fredonia Church, our children's team, they can't wait to get back down there with the kids again because they miss serving in the local church. That's what we're created to do. A sheep has to baa, right? I mean, that's what it has to do. And that's what we have to do in the local church is serve. And I want to encourage you too, during this time, don't let that hunger, don't let that fire go out for serving here. Just because things may be a little bit easier now, or they may be let down a little bit now, or things are different right now, we're ramping back up to where God has for us to be. Amen. And if we're going to get there, we have to maintain that attitude, keep the pressure on the faith moving in that direction. The other thing we usually look at is giving. Of course, we know it's right to tithe and give to the local church. We teach that it's right to give to the man of God and the woman of God that he's assigned to us as spiritual authority. We talk about that as sheep as well. And these are all important things, but there's one thing that we can't overemphasize, and that's prayer. And that's why we're talking today about the power of a praying sheep. All of us as sheep, we have a part to play in what happens in this building, in this ministry. We have a part to play in what happens in the Allegheny building. We have a part to play in what happens in your pastor's personal lives. And we can affect those for better or worse by being people of prayer or not. So we're going to be stirred this morning on why we need to be people of prayer, how to pray, and we're going to look at these things. Paul said in the New Testament, I said this earlier, would you say Paul was a holy man? Would you say he was pretty anointed, right? I mean, usually when we think of men of God, we think Jesus, and then there's the Apostle Paul, like right flush underneath him, right? And then everybody else is trying to get up to those levels, right? Well, the Apostle Paul, who we consider this great holy example for us, he asked people over and over and over again in the church. He said, pray for me. I need your prayers. I covet your prayers. He said it over and over again. If he needed the prayers of the church, how much more the fivefold ministry today, 2,000 years removed, right? All the fivefold ministry, and we're talking specifically about praying for our pastors, they need our prayers to do what God has called them to do. I was reading an article this past week about pastors today and in this COVID time that we're living in right now. And the article said that 6 out of 10 pastors, think about that, 60%, 6 out of 10 pastors have admitted since March when COVID started to contemplating suicide. 6 out of 10 pastors. Now, I'm not saying, Pastor Mike didn't call me and say, I need you to come fill it. There was nothing like that. He said, go follow the Holy Ghost, preach what needs to be preached. And this is what came to my heart. But I saw that article this week, and it hit me. The church is not praying for our leadership. The church is not making power available for our spiritual leaders. For 60% of American pastors to be contemplating, not quitting, suicide. I mean, I'm not talking, quitting is one thing, suicide, ending everything, because of the intense pressure that's being put on them right now. I mean, you think about it, a pastor has to make decisions for his sheep of, yes, we know what faith says, and your pastor's a faith giant, right? He teaches from experience, he teaches from revelation of faith, and he has to make that balance between, okay, I know that I'm not going to get sick from this, but what if that baby comes in, that baby sheep comes in, and something happens to them? In my church. The response, the weight of that, it's something most of us have never had to experience and hopefully never will have to experience in our lives. But it's a pressure, and it's on pastors all across America. And what can we do to help with that? It's not a matter of just patting Pastor Mike on the hand, saying, you're doing a great job, sir. I mean, those things, might fluff you up and make you feel nice, but that's just the surface. There's an under part of that where we can make power available for our pastors that any attack that would try to get to him has to go through us. Amen. And if we take our place in prayer, those attacks won't even come. Amen. I'm not saying your pastor has even been attacked in this area, but I know that the devil's out there doing it to pastors across the country, across the world. And so if we know his devices, we can stand against those. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's not just why we're talking about. It's not just during COVID. It's in general that our pastors need our prayers. The Holy Spirit told Pastor Michael last year, I believe it was, that the church's job in the end days is to pray. Well, we're the church. The Holy Ghost has said that's our job. Right? It's simple. We just have to be people of prayer. So we're going to see this morning what that means. We're going to stir up our faith on this. The first thing I want to look at is that we need a pastor. Amen. You need a pastor. And when it comes to being stirred up in faith, sometimes we have to do that, even in this area. And we do that through the Word of God. See, with God, he's not a God of obligation, right? He doesn't want us to just come in this place, put our behinds in these seats, and fill it up and check off that we had people at this service. We're not going to go before him. I remember growing up in Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher told me that there's a chalkboard in heaven, and they have a good chalkboard and a bad chalkboard, and you get a dash every time you do something good and a dash every time you do something bad. This is real. I was really told this when I was in third grade. And if you have more good than bad, you get into heaven. Well, and then they told us how to get the good, and one of the things was that you have to go to church, and the more you go to church, you get more good marks. That's not how heaven works. I know this is deep revelation for you. It's sad that there's people out there that actually think that way. But God wants our hearts. When we come here and we're not just going to fill a seat, that means we have to attach faith to it. How do we build our faith? By hearing the Word. So we're going to look at the Word in that area this morning. Pastor Mike sent this text out yesterday. And it was funny because he didn't know I had this in my notes. But I wrote here, if you love your pastor, you'll pray for him. If you love your pastor, if you truly love and treasure and cherish the gift of God that's on his life, you'll pray for him. Right. And we could go as far as to say, and don't throw stones at me for this one, if you're not praying for him, you don't love him. Right. I didn't say that in any other services, but we're going to say it here. If we're not praying for our pastor, we don't really love him. Because we're not doing anything to help him. Yeah, we can give to local church, but it's in vain. We're playing church then. We're just doing the surface stuff, the natural stuff. God wants our hearts. And if we're going to activate that, we have to be people of prayer for our men and women of God. And I don't say that to make anybody feel bad or, you know, I know you're used to bold preaching around here, but I don't say that to hit anybody over the head. But let it be a checkup on us, right? I know there's been times where, you know, my pastor will teach on prayer. I get real good about it for a while. And then you kind of fizzle out because we're humans and that's the stuff we do. And then you have to stir it up again and then you get good and then fizzle out again. I know most people are that way anyways. But when it comes to this stuff, let it just be a note to us. I'm sure we've all prayed for our pastors at one point or another. But let it be a note to help stir that up in us, right? Shake the can a little bit so that there's some fizz going on in there. So Ephesians 4, verse 8, we're going to start in. It says, wherefore he saith, when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're going to look in these scriptures for a little bit this morning. We're not going to exhaust them by any stretch, but the thing that I always have to point out when we talk about this, when we talk about the pastoral office, is in verse 8, where he talks about when Jesus ascended high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. And it talks about Jesus' first coming down to the earth and then going into hell for us, and then coming up from hell. And this is just kind of basic Bible doctrine, but we'll just paint the picture here. When Jesus died on the cross, his spirit went to hell because he took all the sins of humanity. And he spent 3 days in hell for us. And I mean, we think, oh, he only spent 3 days there. Do you want to go for 3 days? No. And he wasn't just sitting there in a hot cave. He was fighting off the devil. I mean, he was going up to him. He was kicking him. He was stomping him with the glory of God. Now, understand, for Jesus, it was easy. But at the same time, it was still a sacrifice that he had to make because when he was in hell, he was separated from his Father. And he said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? It's because his spirit was cut off from his father in that moment. He made that sacrifice for us. And while he's down there, in the Old Testament, before they had Jesus, you know, people couldn't get into heaven because there was no Jesus that had come. And so their spirits, when they died, if they were holy men of God, would go to a place called Abraham's bosom, which is above hell but below the earth. So it's still not heaven. So after Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, he kicked the devil in the face, he rose up from hell, and he grabbed all the saints that were in Abraham's bosom. And then he brought them up with him. Now, he spent a few days on the earth. We see that in the Gospels. And then he ascended all the way into heaven. We can look back on this when we get there, the day that all those saints busted through the gates. I mean, all those ones that knew what was waiting for them when Jesus finally came, this hope that was set before them, the Bible says. Oh my goodness, what a day that must have been. And so Jesus is now in heaven. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave for us, removed sickness and poverty and disease and lack from our life. Thank God for that. He took care of that. He brought the saints up to heaven with him. Once he was up there, he gave us the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, right? And then, one of the very next things that he did was to give us our pastors.
Amen.
Think about that for a second. How important it was to God that he saved you, he gave you the Holy Ghost, then he gave you a pastor. And we put so much reverence on the first two. Oh, thank God that you saved me. Thank God that I pray in other tongues and have the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad I have a pastor. We ought to have just as much excitement. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I think about the fact that I'm not going to hell, I get excited about it. Right? You ought to. And if you're not, there's something wrong with you. So check up on yourself a little bit and see. You ought to be excited about the fact that you're not going to spend eternity separated from God and in damnation. Thank God for Jesus. But as just as excited about as you get about that, you ought to be excited about having a pastor. Someone that's a spiritual oversight in our life that God has appointed for me to have a direct connection with him. I mean, my goodness, God took Pastor Mike Anderson and he placed him in South Dayton. And then he took you and he placed you right there. He orchestrated that relationship supernaturally from the dawn of creation. This is not something America treats church like it's just a club on Sunday mornings. This is a supernatural exchange of faith with someone that God has appointed to watch over your life. Thank God that we have pastors. Amen. My goodness. Stir yourself up on these things. You can't help but want to pray for them when you get revelation of what it means to have one. Amen. I've had a pastor and I've not had a pastor. Having a pastor is better. Praise the Lord. Verse 11 says, Jesus gave. This was a gift to us. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He gave these. If we recognize that this is a gift, see, this relationship is essential for us to grow. We cannot grow in Christ without this relationship. There's those out there that would say, oh, you don't need a pastor. You can read the Bible and get the revelation on your own. You're missing out. You're missing out on the fullness of what he has for you. I don't know if this is the best illustration, but I gave it at the morning service, and I think it worked, is that, listen, yes, I can read my Bible at home. I can prepare my own meals to the best of my ability there. But basically, I'm going to be eating frozen Great Value dinners for the whole week. Then I come here on Sunday morning, and my pastor has laid out a 5-star buffet. I mean, with the best grub that you can imagine. I know buffets are closed right now, so use your imagination. But that's, why would we want anything less? God has anointed this man to bring a message from heaven to us every week. We ought to be getting excited about these things. Thank God we have pastors. How long are we going to need these gifts? Because some folks cut back from this too soon. He said, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, this is why, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let me ask you something, dear 1030 Family Church South Dayton group. Are you perfect?
No.
No. Oh, you guys answered that so good. Yeah, you're not. You're not perfect. I know this is deep revelation for you. And I have to tell you, I know this is going to come as a shock. I'm not perfect either. I know. I wouldn't lie to you from the pulpit. I'm saying, until all of us have reached perfection, which newsflash, isn't going to happen until Jesus comes back for us. We're going to need these offices. We're going to need pastors in our life. So thank God for them. Praise the Lord. Let's see. Go ahead and turn to James 5:16. See, the nice part about preaching three services is I'm learning how much I can actually fit in the time slot that I have. By the end of this one, maybe we'll get it all. We'll see. James 5:16. We've stirred up our faith that we need a pastor. We're going to stir it up that our prayers have power. Our prayers generate power. The Bible's clear about this. Sometimes the reason people don't pray, and we're going to look more at reasons why later, is because they don't believe that their prayers actually do anything. And we're seeing why. We're getting our faith stirred up on this morning. Your prayers, no matter where you're at in your spiritual walk, you may have been just born again. You may have gotten into a fight with your spouse that morning. You may have lost your job that day. You may have gotten a horrible report from the doctor that day. You may be at the top of your spiritual game and feeling like you're Jesus part two. I mean, wherever you might be, your prayers make power available. Amen. Amen. We see this in James 5:16, and I'm reading out of the Amplified. It says, "The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man." Are we righteous men and women? Yes, we are. We've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that. "Makes tremendous, not just power available, tremendous power available that's dynamic in its working." See, when you become a person of prayer for your man of God, you're helping them to accomplish the work that God has called them to do. My pastor, there's kind of two roles that he walks in, right? There's Michael Loketic, and there's Pastor Michael. Now, Michael Loketic's a great guy. He's a nice guy. I like him. I enjoy him. I know him. But I can't get anything from him other than I can learn how to build stuff, clean stuff, take care of tractors, stuff like that. I mean, he's a smart guy. He knows a lot more than I do. But then there's Pastor Michael. Now, Pastor Michael, that just saying that wets my whistle. I mean, remember in Lion King when they said Mufasa? Ooh, you get the chills. You ought to get chills when you hear your pastor's name, right? Because you're so excited about the gift that God has for you in that. Let me ask you something. Do you like Christmas and birthdays? If anybody says they don't like Christmas and birthdays, you're a liar. Jeff told me earlier he doesn't because it's better to give than receive. Get out of here. You like Christmas and birthdays. I know you do. Why? Because we get to open presents. I'm sorry. I love you, Jeff. Because we get to open presents, right? Saturday night ought to be like Christmas Eve for you every week. Because Sunday morning, you get to open the gift of your pastor. Every Sunday morning, you wake up. I mean, think back to when you were a kid and you couldn't sleep in on Christmas morning because of what was waiting for you. Sunday mornings, if we're rolling out of bed having to drudge our eyes open and, ugh, church today. Okay, kids, get ready. Eat your breakfast. No, eat your breakfast. And you're trying to get everybody going to church. Is that not how it goes in your house? It's not how it goes in my house either, I promise. If church is a drudge for us, if it's an inconvenience for us, if it's a pain for us, it's just an opportunity for us to check up on something. We ought to be as excited as we are on Christmas morning to get here and unwrap the gift of our pastor. Amen? That's really not how things go in my house at all, let alone Sunday mornings. See, our job as the church, we're generators. We're power generators here, right? In an engine, a car engine. Now, please know, I'm not a mechanic, so if I say this is my disclaimer, right? Don't go try and fix anything in your vehicle based on what I said here this morning. But in a car engine, there's a bunch of different parts, and if we could think of the local church as an engine, right? We all have a different component. We all have a different part that we play. In an engine, there's a battery. That battery's job is to power all of the different components in the car, to power the radio, to power, you know, in some regards, the air conditioner, the lights on the car, all the different things get their power from the battery. But that battery relies on a very crucial piece of equipment that's in that engine, the alternator. Yeah. Because a battery can maintain a charge for maybe 45 minutes to an hour without getting charged back up again. But eventually, things will start to fail. The lights will go out, the radio will stop working, God forbid the air conditioner will get warm. I mean, Jesus, right? If that battery isn't getting consistently charged, it's going to die. Our job as the church is to be the alternator to the battery that is our pastor. Their job is to do everything in the church that needs to be done, to orchestrate it, to oversee all of it. But our job is to keep them powered up, to keep them built up. And as we take our place in prayer, there's constantly enough power in that battery so that when they go to turn on the radio, there's power there to do it. I've been in services before. Just as an illustration, I was in a service where the Lord had told me to go to this meeting. And it's funny, it's not my church. It's not one that I would usually go to. Nothing wrong with it. It's just not my church, not my pastor. But I knew that I had to be there that night. And so I followed the Holy Ghost and went to that service. And while I was there, the pastor, by word of knowledge, began calling out different things that people needed ministry for in their lives, healing in their bodies, things like that, family situations. Because God's so good, and He takes care of us like that. He's so good to us. But while that was happening, I got a prayer burden during that service. And if you don't know what a prayer burden is, just when there's times that you want to pray, and there's times when you have to pray. And it's almost where if you don't pray, it actually starts to hurt physically in your body that you're not yielding to this leading of the Holy Ghost. And there's a whole lot there, but that's just the Sunday morning overview. But as I was just in my seat praying, I didn't make a big deal out of it. I didn't go, "Oh, God," and start trying to move heaven and earth. I just sat down quietly in my seat, had my hands on my stomach like this, and I was just praying, travailing as lightly as I could without drawing attention to myself. And, the pastor's ministering to people. And I had a revelation by word of knowledge in that minute where I knew, it was amazing, God's so good. I knew that as I was praying, as I was travailing right there, I was making power available for the pastor to minister to those people as he was ministering to them. Now, thank God that prayer can do that, right? Thank God that there was someone that said yes, and maybe he asked people before me. If I wasn't available, he would have asked people after me. It's nothing special about me. I was just available at that minute to be that need that needed to happen. But I think he orchestrated it to show me some things about prayer and our need as the church to be praying for our pastors. Because I had revelation, not only did I know that I was praying for that, but I sensed that the Spirit was grieved about it. Because yes, it's amazing that God can do that. That, you know, I could be actively making power available for that pastor to be ministering in that minute. But that wasn't his highest and best. Because that was like a jump start, right? You know, if you've ever had a dead battery, you get a jump start. You get just enough to get to where you need to go, but if your alternator's bad, you're going to die again at some point. You're not going to make it far. And I was just helping to jumpstart what God wanted to do in that service. And I knew that the Spirit was grieved because I could tell that no one in that church was praying. No one in that church was making power available. And so here's the man of God obeying the leading of the Holy Spirit to minister the life-changing power of God to people. Miraculous healings that needed to happen. Have you ever needed to be healed of something? Amen. Thank God when that power comes and God manifests himself in that way. And here God wanted to do something. And if I hadn't been there to say yes and no one had come to pray, nothing would have happened. People would have lost out on their miracle because the church wasn't praying. See, this is sobering for us. Amen. We have a part to play. You know, a lot of times people want to be so involved in the ministry and you know, we deal, especially in training for ministry, younger folks especially, they want to be up front. They want to be on the platform. They want to be on the worship team so people can see them. And they want to be out in front ministering to people because they want eyes on them. And that's, young people deal with pride. All, you know, we all have to deal with that at some point in our life. It's just a part of it. But because of that, sometimes people think, well, if I'm not doing that, I'm not doing anything to help the ministry. I'm not ministering to anyone, so what am I doing? Listen, when you take your place as a praying sheep in the local church, when Pastor Mike calls out a heart issue for someone, and someone comes up that's in need of a new heart because their heart is failing and they're on their last leg in life, and we're believing for these miracles that we need to see, and they come up front and he lays hands on them, it's like you're right there with him. When you take your place in prayer, you're making that power available so that when he transmits the anointing of God to that person, you helped do that. I mean, if that doesn't motivate us to pray, nothing will. Listen, your prayers can change people's destinies, can change people's lives. We want the miraculous. We want Miracle Mike. We want all of these prophecies that have come to pass. We're never going to have them if we don't pray. We're never going to. Otherwise, we're just playing church. And we're just up here saying, "Oh, Lord, I want it, I want it, I want it." Do you? Have you prayed lately for your pastor? Have you prayed for the miracles? And like I said, I'm not saying this to put condemnation on anyone, but let it be sobering for us. We have a job to do. The church's job in the last days is to pray. When we do this, we make power available and people's lives are changed because of it. Oh my goodness. I thought I had it. Man, we're already, praise the Lord. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just mention this. In Acts 3, verses 1 through 9, it talks about the miracle at the gate called Beautiful. When Peter and John were there, and the man that was lame was standing at the gate asking alms of people, and he looked at them, and they looked at him, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he stood leaping and praising and glorified God, and many saw it. It was a beautiful testimony, right? We see that, and we say, "Oh, Lord, we want the miracles like the gate called Beautiful. We want the lives changed. We want them rising up out of the wheelchairs. We want the arms growing out." And if you don't, you should. I mean, this is how the lost get won. This is how people's destinies are changed and come to heaven with us forever. This is how Jesus comes back and takes us home. So we ought to want these things. But there was a reason that that got to happen. Because in Acts 2:42, it says that they continued steadfastly in the doctrine of the gospel, in the doctrine of the disciples, in breaking of bread, which means they went to church, and prayer. The early church was a church of prayer like you and I can't even imagine. We think if we've spent an hour in prayer, we've hung the moon. We think that that is the utmost of what we can do. They spent days in prayer, days unending, where they would just cycle out. Constantly, people praying, constantly. We say, why don't we have the miracles like we did then? This is why. No one is praying. Now, maybe a handful of us. We can't say no one, but no one. We need more than a handful. You understand? The nation of Israel in the Old Testament, two tribes lost out on what they should have had because the majority wasn't doing what they were supposed to do. Right? The same thing can happen to the church today. Praise the Lord. We're going to take our place in prayer. Amen. We're going to go through this quick. Why don't people pray? First reason, they don't have faith for it. If you don't have faith for it, build up your faith. That's what we're doing this morning. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Find scriptures about honoring your pastor. Find scriptures about miracles. Find scriptures about prayer. Meditate on them. Feed on them. Allow them to get into you. And you can't help but want to pray for these things to come to pass. You ever not been hungry for something and then you smell it cooking? And you're like, I know there's been times I've pulled in the driveway and Katie's making fajitas. Now, oh, Lord Jesus, she can make fajitas. And I open the door of my car, and you can smell it outside. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, what it says about our insulation, but I could smell it in the driveway, and I wasn't hungry. Oh, I need fajitas. I mean, you just, listen, we're sniffing some of these things today. Get hungry for it. Amen? Stir up your faith. The next reason people don't want to do it is because it's hard on the flesh. Praying doesn't satisfy our natural senses. You can't hear, feel, see, taste, or touch prayer. Right? But what is it? It's an act of faith. It's a relationship. It's just talking to my Father. Yesterday, I drove to Allegheny. I had my son Joshua with me. We talked on the way out there. And in the service, I asked him, I said, "Joshua, was it hard for you to talk to me?" He said, "No. Why would it be? I'm his Father." It's not hard to talk to our Father. We complicate it sometimes because we can't see him, but that's where the act of faith comes in. Right? Faith is, prayer is just talking to our Father. But since prayer doesn't naturally feel good, listen, there's times that I would much rather go out and get a pizza than spend time in prayer because it tastes better than prayer does. Let's be real a second, right? But what do we have to do about that? We crucify the flesh. We sow into spiritual things so that we can reap of spiritual things. I want to reap of a miraculous church. And how do I do that? By sowing into that miraculous church through prayer. Praise the Lord. Just as a reference, because I want to use scripture with this, John 20:24 talks about Thomas. Doubting Thomas, how'd you like that to be your reputation for 2,000 years? Because he has seen Jesus, he had believed. And Jesus said, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." Thomas needed natural satisfaction to believe in the truth. We don't need that. People of faith don't need that. It doesn't matter if it tastes good, feels good, looks good. If we know that it's God, it's good. Amen? The last thing, don't throw anything at me for this one, why people don't pray. They don't get glory from it. People don't, I mean, when we become servers in the local church, right, you start serving faithfully in all these different ministries, people take note of it and say, "Wow, look at him. He's such a faithful server. Wow, look at her. She's so good with the kids in the nursery." And we, you know, for all of our humility, we still, "Thank you." You know, you like it a little bit. Don't lie. These thoughts come to us. Same thing with giving, right? Oh, I can't wait to put $100 in Pastor Mike's hand this weekend so he knows that I gave him $100. All these other things that we can do in the local church, they have things that you can see and show people what we're doing. Prayer has nothing like that. Pastor Mike could get up here next Sunday after this message when I trust everybody's going to go home and pray for their pastor this week, and he's not going to know who spent the most time in prayer. Does that bother you? If that bothers you, that's a symptom of something. That symptom is pride. What does that mean? That means that our prayers then become useless. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 6. He said, they that pray openly so that everyone can see them, they've had their reward. Yeah. What's the reward? Everybody sees you. Yeah. That's what you get. That's the only thing you get. Your prayers are fruitless. Yeah. Useless at that point. You've wasted your time. You've wasted God's time. Yeah. But if we close ourselves, like Jesus said, in our prayer closets, we get before him. They that pray in secret, he shall reward openly. That reward might come in open form of blessings, increase in our life. I know for me personally, that reward has come just by manifestation of his presence in my life. And I've been at home in my office just in a time of prayer. And the tangible presence of God shows up in there. And you saturate yourself in this. It's something that we can only get if we seek to serve him the way he wants to be served. To pray in secret that he'd reward us. Because he is a rewarder. He's faithful to his word. Amen. So how do we pray? Okay, we made it. This is the end. How do we pray? I'm not going to say last, because I said last like 20 times at the last service. So I'm going to try and not use that word. A couple months ago, I and my family, we went on a road trip down to Georgia. And, of course, it was before all the quarantine laws and everything like that were up here, so we didn't break any rules or anything. And we went to a cabin, just us in the mountains, away from people. I love people, love you all, but it was really nice to get away from people for a week, you know what I mean? And we went up into this mountain, and we're staying at the cabin down there. And when we drove down to Georgia, how many know there was a way that we could go that was an easy way? I mean, as easy as driving 13 hours with 3 kids in the car can be, right? No, actually it was really good because we gave our kids a lot of devices to use, which I know you're not supposed to do, but it was a peaceful trip, so you can cast your stones later. But when I drove down there, how many know Georgia's south of us, right? My wife's van has a compass in it, and it has a letter S when I'm facing south. I could have just drove in a circle until it said S and then drove straight. And I could have eventually maybe gotten to Georgia, but how many know the trip would have been awful? All the people's houses that I drove through would have been upset with me. We probably would have gotten stuck at the bottom of a river somewhere or a creek eventually. It wasn't a feasible thing. It would have wasted my time. It would have frustrated our trip. And you think this is pointless, but this is how people pray, right? They just go at it not knowing. They're just, okay, I'm going to pray and head in a direction. They don't know where they're going. Listen, when I looked at the GPS on my phone, I had a nice, light, and easy way to get to where I needed to go. And all I had to do was follow the directions. God gives us directions on how to pray right here in his word. And when we follow those directions, we'll be effective in our prayers. Because we want to be effective in them. Isaiah 43:26 says, to put me in remembrance of my word, let us contend together. See, when we bring his word before him, like we sang in that song today, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. When we bring his word before him, it says he's contending with us. What does that mean? That means that it's not just me, little old Scott, big old Scott, up here trying to solve all the world's problems through my prayer life. Because sometimes prayer can be daunting, right? If we think that we're trying to fix all these things, take care of these, help people get their miracles, there can be pressure on it. And the enemy will remind you and make you think that there's pressure where there isn't any. But it's not just like that. When I bring his word before him in prayer, I've now taken my arm like this, and I've got God, the creator of the universe. Jesus Christ himself has latched his arm around mine, and he's taking me to different places, and we're addressing things that need to be addressed. Then he's taking me over here, and we're taking care of this situation. And then we're over here, and we're taking care of this situation. When we follow his word in our prayers, we're allowing him to take us exactly where he wants to go. And it takes the pressure off of us. We don't have to try and fluff it up and make ourselves sound holy and righteous and mighty. He already gave us the instructions. All we have to do is pray them out according to his will. So what we're going to do this morning, if you're okay with us actually praying in church, So we're going to pray this morning. Amen. We're going to take a few minutes and just pray together, because I want you to see how easy this is. Because when the thoughts start coming to you, oh, do I have to? No, remember at the end of this service how we spent 5 minutes and it was so easy. And this little bit of time that we did made so much power available. And if we all take our place and do this, this ministry will never be the same. These next 10 years that God has for this church will never be the same. They won't look anything like the first 10 years. You won't even recognize it because God's brought us so much further up. So I just want you to hook your faith up with mine as I go through these scriptures. And then you can write down these references so that you can pray them on your own as well. I don't have copyright privileges on scripture, right? This is for all of us. The first batch we're going to look at is in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 16 through 19. Ephesians 1, 16 through 19. When we pray these scriptures, each of these has a purpose that we're talking about today. It's to pray that our leadership, those that we're praying for, would know the will of God for their life. You want your pastor to know the will of God. You want him to know what he needs to do in this place. I gave this illustration at the morning service, the earlier morning service, that when it comes to praying for our pastors, when it comes to making this power available, there are rooms and there are places and there are phases and there are assignments that God has for your pastors. There are things that he's called them specifically to do. And if we could think of those for this illustration as rooms, right? Rooms in a hallway, perhaps, or in a house. Now, inside that room, there's furniture that God has already placed there. He's laid it out. He knows exactly what needs to happen, and he's got all the equipment in there. When you become a person of prayer and we pray these scriptures to make this so that they have revelation of it, we're now going into that room before they even get there with the Spirit of God. We're arranging the furniture exactly how they want it to be, so that when Pastor Mike opens that door to go into that room at the time God has for him, everything's already perfectly laid out. He doesn't have to do any work. He doesn't have to try and figure anything out. He doesn't have to make stuff fit anywhere because it's already been laid out exactly how he would want it. It's the Holy Ghost will help us do that. Amen. So when we become people of prayer, that's the authority that he gives us. Prayer is so exciting. Yes. It's an opportunity to change the world. My goodness. So pray with me. Just bow your heads. Lord, we cease not to give thanks for Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney, making mention of them in our prayers, that you'd give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, they would know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards them who believe. Amen. Amen. See how simple that is. And just in that little time, if we all do that every single day, just in that little time, we've now made that much more power available. We've charged up that battery so that they can now do, they have revelation of the next things that God would have for them to do. Amen. Do you know a battery in a car can actually store charge that it's not even using yet? It's always ahead of the fact. And a battery that's behind the times, that's the one that needs to be jump-started. But we can help store up power that they don't even need to have access to yet by praying these prayers. The next one in Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. So we've now prayed for them to have revelation of the will of God. This next batch is for them to have the strength to walk out the will of God that they now have revelation of. In Joshua, God told Joshua to go in and possess the land that he'd given unto him. And wherever the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given unto you. But after he told them to do that, so now Joshua had revelation of what he had to do, he now needed something else. God then told him three times, be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Therefore, be thou strong and courageous. He told him three times. Why? Because it takes strength to walk out the will of God. It takes strength. You know, the will of God right now is for this church to have two services. It takes strength for your pastor to do that. It takes strength for him to tape off every other row. You may think it's not weakness, it's strength to do things that look like a lack of faith. It's not. It's obeying what we've been told to do. It takes strength to lead in times like this. It takes strength to lead a church into what God has for it. And so we pray these prayers. Lord, for this cause, we pray and we bow our knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that you would grant Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in their inner man, that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith, and that they, being rooted and grounded in love, would be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The next one, Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. This is for boldness in ministry. You like having a bold pastor,
amen.
Right? I was watching this video about they were making a component for a big machine. It was a steel, kind of a bearing, I guess you would call it. But they had this big wedge of superheated steel, and they put this wedge under a hydraulic hammer. And, of course, the air is cooler than the steel is, so the outside has already started to cool, you know? And every time that hammer comes down, little pieces fly off of it, junk pieces, pieces that aren't going to be part of the final product, little pieces that are useless, that are just waste at that point. See, every time your pastor gets a bold message, it's pounding the junk off the outside of us.
Amen.
There's stuff on us that's flaky, that's fruity, that's nothing, that's useless to what God wants to do. That boldness, it's that hydraulic hammer, just pounding it out, so that he can shape us into what God wants us to be. So we want him to have boldness in ministry. He said, for me, that we pray this. Lord, we pray that utterance would be given to Pastor Mike, that he would open his mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which he is also an ambassador in bonds, that therein may he speak boldly as he ought to speak. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2 says, this talks about being effective in ministry, but also being delivered from wrong people. There's people out there that would seek to derail what God wants to do in every ministry, not just this one. And this helps protect. This is where we stand in that gap, and we say, listen, you're not getting to him unless you come through me. Right? How many of you, I want to take that place for my pastor, right? In the spirit, this is how we do it. Lord, we pray for them, that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified in their ministry, even as it is with you. That they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. In Acts 4:29-30, this is where we get to pray for the miraculous. And you understand there's way more than these five prayers we're looking at. There's a whole lot more, but we're just talking about these five this morning. This is for the miraculous. How many of you want those miracles we've been talking about, right? This is how we get it. Lord, behold the threatenings of those, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they would be able to speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done in this ministry by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, when we take our place in prayer, make this power available. It is so simple. It's as simple as just quoting these scriptures. You can add some more to it if you want to. If you're more articulate than that, you can talk to your father. It's just a conversation with him about it. Tell him how much you love your pastor. Tell him how grateful you are for him. Just tell him you want him to be blessed and be taken care of and abound in all good things and be in the right meetings every year so that you can get the fruit of that. Every time my pastor goes to meetings, it's like they're going grocery shopping. Remember as a kid, mom would go grocery shopping. She brings all the stuff home and you get tearing through the bags. That's what meetings are for our pastors. They bring home the goodies for us, right? The last thing we'll look at, and I actually mean last thing this time. I saved it today. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What's that talking about? Praying in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That when we as children of God, born again, baptized with his glorious Holy Spirit, begin to pray in other tongues for our pastors. That's where now God's got us before in this arm. Now the Holy Ghost is in this arm. We've got God on each side of us, leading us, and he'll take us into situations Pastor Mike may not even have knowledge of. Because there's things that your pastor is dealing with in lives and sheep lives and financial matters and business matters for the church. There's things that our pastors will deal with we'll never have a knowledge of. And that's okay. That's between them and God. But I can still play a part in helping them get through that. I don't need to know what he's going through to know how to pray for him. Because the Holy Ghost knows. Amen. And so when we take our place and we begin to spend time praying in tongues for our pastors, I'll tell you, things will never be the same.
Amen.
Listen, there's levels that we can go to. You know, it's good to aim to pray an hour a day. And I understand that that's a lot at some point. We can always work our way up to it. You know, Jesus talked about praying an hour. A lot of examples in the Bible talk about an hour. There's something about that opens the door to more. And you've heard Pastor Michael teach on that here before. But these scriptures here, listen, if you will start by praying the scriptures, the five we talked about, and praying in the Holy Ghost for 5 minutes, that's less than 10 minutes a day. And I can guarantee you that at the end of the next year, this thing will not be the same.
Amen.
Guaranteed. Why? Because I know what the word says.
Yeah.
The word is truth. God's not a liar.
Amen.
If we're making power available, it has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Where's it going to go? To doing the work that he wants to do here.
Amen.
Amen. So let's be people of prayer for our pastors. Let's help change the world, and this is how we do it. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for helping us this morning, Father. Thank you for stirring us to be people of prayer for our pastors. And Father, this morning, we thank you, Father, that we'll leave this place more full of faith than when we came in today, Lord. That we'll leave this place with an aim on you this week, with a goal to be people of prayer more than we ever have been. Because we do hunger and desire for the lost, Father. We hunger and desire for the miraculous. And Lord, it's our sincere hope and thankful, faithful prayer to you, Lord, that we see the fullness of your plan for this church and for the Allegheny Church and all the family churches. And so, Father, we've lifted Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney up to you today. And Father, we thank you for increased fruit in their lives from this ministry that you've called them to. Father, we give you praise and glory for it. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I believe I recognize everybody here as faithful Sunday morning people, but I want to give an invitation today. If you need to rededicate your life to God this morning, there's an opportunity when we've come together in the house of God to do this. No one's casting judgment, but it's just between you and him to do that. I want to give you an invitation. If you need to rededicate your life, come back home to him this morning. Go ahead and raise your hand today. Praise the Lord. I don't see any hands, but wanted to make sure we gave the chance. If you're on live stream watching this morning, the Bible talks about the very clear gift of salvation. We've talked about the gift of the pastor today, but we mentioned Jesus Christ, that he died, he went to hell in your place, he rose from the dead so that you could be saved. All you have to do to accept that salvation is simply accept him as Lord and Savior of your life. That guarantees you. See, you're an eternal creature. When you pass from this existence, there's one of two places that you're going to go. You're either going to go to hell, where you're eternally separated from God, or you're going to go to heaven and spend eternity with him. Heaven's the better choice. And the only way to get there is through God's son, Jesus. And it's easy to accept him. The Bible says in Romans 10 that if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, you shall be saved. So if that's you, if you need to pray that, you just say, Lord, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you. I believe that he died on the cross for me. He rose from the dead so that I could be saved. And this day I make him Lord of my life. Once you've done that, you've got a guaranteed ticket to heaven for all eternity. And if you did pray that prayer this morning, make sure that you write the church, let the pastor know about it so that he can help you get started on your new walk with God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You can open your eyes and lift your heads. God's so good, isn't he?
Yes.
Amen. Were you stirred today?
Yes.
Say, I pray for my pastor.
I pray for my pastor.
Say it again. I love to pray for my pastor.
I love to pray for my pastor.
There it is. You confess that. We have what we say. So confess that, even if you don't feel like praying for him yet. If this didn't stir you, get your own faith on it. Because I brought the word. That's what we need. Praise the Lord. We're going to receive the offering here this morning. Of course, we do it at the end of service so that you can drop it in the buckets as you head out after service. And we can be compliant with all the things we're supposed to. But 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We always look at this and say, oh, isn't that sweet? God loves a happy giver. We ought to be happy about our giving. That's true. But there's a part of this verse that we can't overlook. It says, every man purposes in his heart. When I come to God in the offering, just like we talked about earlier, when I come to the church, that it's not just a matter of filling a seat. It's not just a matter of me giving 10% of my gross income to the Lord. That's not what he's after. He's after my heart. He wants to see it. He wants me to see it as an offering, as an act of worship to him. You know, we all love to come in a time of worship and get to sing and praise God together. This ought to be just as sacred to us, just as holy to us. And in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 5 is the story of Naaman. I shared this last night. Naaman was a captain of the guard. He was in the army, and he had leprosy. And he went to Elisha, the man of God, and he was healed of his leprosy. Praise God. I mean, that's beautiful, right? Read the story, 2 Kings 5. And he was healed of it. And after he was healed, he wanted to give Elisha some money. And Elisha said, no, I don't want your money. Now, I believe, knowing as a person in ministry, having seen the business side of ministry, he could have used that money. There were places he had to go that money would have blessed him to help get to. There were things that needed to be done in that time that money would have helped him to do. But he turned it down. And why did he do it? I believe it was because the Lord supernaturally revealed to him, whether it was by word of knowledge or he just knew, Naaman was trying to pay for his healing. It wasn't an act of worship. It wasn't an act of grateful thanks for what had been done. It was simple paying. Oh, you've healed me? Here's a transaction. And Elisha wanted no part or lot in that matter, because that's worthless at that point. That's praise coming before God as a, what does 1 Corinthians 13 say? When we have not love, right? We are a tinkling cymbal, that there's no value in it. There's no hope in it. And so when we come before him to give, my goodness, have our hearts attached to it. This isn't the same as paying the National Grid or NYSEG bill. This is so much more precious and valuable. It's an opportunity to interact financially and worship God with our Father. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for an opportunity to give to you today. Lord, as we give into this work, we thank you that it goes into good ground, comes back to each and every one of us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Father, thank you that this ministry abounds to every good work, and that each and every person's here, that their needs are met and fully supplied according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've so enjoyed being with you all today. Don't forget, come back next Sunday. Pastor Mike will be back here, refreshed and ready for whatever God has for you. And be praying for your pastors this week. Let's put this into practice, right? Amen. Amen. Let's be praying sheep. We'll make power available. So the ushers will dismiss you row by row, and then you can drop your offerings in as you head out. Love you guys. You're dismissed. You shine.